A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So Ezra is 10-month old now, so not quite yet at the point where we're watching content, but I did preemptively install YouTube Kids after discovering that such a thing exists, set up a profile for him, and began taking a peek at some of the offerings on YouTube Kids. And there is a lively world of Hebrew language children's content that I briefly was tempted to actually watch just improve my own Hebrew. It's very slow and it's subtitled and it's kind of cheesy. But from a language learning standpoint, that's actually a hard combination to find sometimes. But there's probably better. I mean, I guess at 37, I should probably, look into alternatives to improve my Hebrew. But when Ezra comes of age, I'm sure we'll be spending time on YouTube Kids. But I was watching some of the animated content just to like see what children's programming is like these days. I guess none of us can remember the first shows that we watched, but I grew up on the era of the classic Irish show The Morbegs. Rosie and Jim was big, and that's kind of all I can remember. Then we skip all the way to Toy Story, which I thought was just the greatest thing ever to appear on a television. What I love to know, Herman and Corin, I'm much more up to date with generative AI than I am with kids programming. And there's just this gigantic sprawl of models, replicate, just gone to replicate or file. And you get the sense that any modality, anything is possible with generative AI these days, whether we're talking about image to video, video to video. And I mentioned that one of my aspirations for this podcast and the wonderful characters of Herman, Poppleberry, and Corin is actually, I'd love to try create an animated kids, series, TV series, animations, what have you. But I presume that the stuff that I'm seeing on YouTube Kids, a lot of it is professionally produced. And I'd love to understand a bit more about where animation is actually at today in terms of how hard is it to make this stuff and how long it takes. Because I guess I remember watching something about how Toy Story got made and just being in absolute awe at the how painstaking that process was and how incredibly talented the animators were who worked on that show. Keyframe by keyframe, drawing these things out. Now, I presume that a huge amount has changed since then to make animation more accessible and that AI is making its impression felt, but not that all animated series are just cooked up with AI either. I'd love to know what the current state of the industry is if we're talking about. If you want to know what I'm asking about, it was an animation called Piggy Visits the Doctor. It was about a family of pigs who were in a waiting room to see a doctor, and I watched about 2 minutes of it. But it wasn't the most perfect animation or ultra fluid or ultra realistic or anything like that. And that's actually what I'd be more interested in knowing, how that gets made, as opposed to whatever the modern equivalent of something like Toy Story is. What's the software? What's the process? And if we're talking about, let's say, for argument's sake, a 30-minute animated series, let's imagine the Koala Brothers. I love the Koala Brothers. How long would it take for one of those episodes to get produced? What kind of talent would be involved? What kind of skills? What kind of programs? And how is AI transforming that industry? Herman and Corin, let's talk about how animated stuff gets made in today's world of AI, but also relying heavily upon the essential element of human creativity.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's got layers. His son Ezra is 10 months old, already has a YouTube Kids profile, and Daniel found himself watching something called Piggy Visits the Doctor. Low-budget Hebrew animation, a family of pigs in a waiting room. And instead of just thinking, this is for toddlers, his brain went to, how was this made, and could I make my own?
Which is exactly the right question to ask right now. Because on one hand, you've got this explosion of generative video models. Sora, Kling, Runway Gen 3, Pika 2.0, and the demos make it look like you can just describe a cartoon and it materializes. But then you watch something like Piggy Visits the Doctor and realize, wait, that wasn't made by typing a sentence into a box. Somebody built that. Somebody animated those pigs frame by frame. So what's actually happening?
The gap between AI can make a clip and AI can make an episode is where this whole conversation lives. And Daniel's not asking about Pixar. He's asking about the stuff that's actually within reach.
He specifically said he wants to understand the Piggy tier, not the Toy Story tier. And that's smart, because the Piggy tier is where indie creators actually operate. It's also where AI is genuinely useful right now, not as a magic wand, but as a tool in a pipeline that still requires human storytelling, human voice acting, human decisions about what a scene should feel like.
He also mentioned his own characters, Herman, Popoberry, and Corin, and that he'd love to make an animated series with them someday, which is not hypothetical for him. He's looking at YouTube Kids and thinking, could I be in there?
The answer is yes. But the distance between yes, conceptually, and here's your finished 7-minute episode, is a lot of very specific work, so let's map that distance.
Before we do, the thing that struck me about his prompt is that he installed YouTube Kids preemptively. Ezra's 10 months old. He's not watching yet, but Daniel's already in there, scouting the terrain, watching Hebrew pig cartoons, and somewhere in that process, the parent brain and the creator brain collided.
That's the moment we're capturing. The moment where you realize the content your kid will consume is made by real people with real tools, and you start wondering if you could be one of those people.
Let's break down what it actually takes to make a kid's animation in 2026, from the Piggy tier to the Koala Brothers tier. And let's be honest about where AI helps, where it doesn't, and what you'd actually need to learn on a Monday morning if you wanted to start.
I want to start with a number that always resets my brain on this topic. Toy Story 1995. 800,000 render hours. 100 machine render farm at Pixar. A single frame took between 4 and 13 hours to render.
I remember reading that as a kid and just not being able to process it. A whole room of computers running for months to make a movie about toys that come to life.
Today, a single NVIDIA RTX 4090, a consumer GPU you can buy for about $1,600, can render a similar quality frame in under a second using Unreal Engine 5. The rendering bottleneck is gone. What took Pixar 100 machines and months of compute now happens in real time on a card that fits in a desktop tower.
If rendering isn't the bottleneck anymore, what is?
The bottleneck shifted from compute to creativity, specifically to pre-production and consistency. Script, storyboard, character design, voice direction, and then the actual frame-by-frame decisions about how a character moves, how they express emotion, how a scene is composed. The computer can draw the frame instantly now. Deciding what to draw is still a human job.
That's where we need to talk about the three tiers Daniel's actually asking about. Because animation is not one thing.
Right, so tier one is what everyone pictures when they hear animation. Pixar, Disney, DreamWorks. Budgets in the 100+ million range, teams of hundreds, render farms that still exist, but now they're doing things like simulating every individual strand of fur. That's not what Daniel's asking about.
Tier 3 is Piggy Visits the Doctor. The thing he actually watched? Low budget, probably made by 1 to 3 people, limited animation. And Tier 2 sits right in the middle. That's the Koala Brothers, or Bluey, or any of those 11-minute TV episodes that have actual production value but aren't trying to be Toy Story.
Here's why these tiers matter. When you say, I want to make an animated series, you're not just picking an art style, you're picking a production reality. Budget, timeline, team size, skill requirements, they're completely different across these three tiers.
Let's define them. Tier 1, theatrical. Not our focus today, but it's useful as the ceiling. A Pixar quality film in 2026 still takes 4 to 5 years and a team of 200 to 300 people. The rendering is faster, but the creative decisions, story, character design, shot composition, lighting, those haven't been automated. They've just gotten more ambitious.
Tier 2 is where the Koala Brothers lives. Stop motion or digital, 2D animation, 11-minute episodes, a crew of 8 to 12 people. You've got a director, two or three animators, a couple of background artists, a rigger, a compositor, a sound designer, at least one voice actor. An episode takes 6 to 8 weeks, and the budget is somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000 per episode.
Then Tier 3. Piggy visits the doctor. This is probably made in Adobe Animate or Toon Boom Harmony, running at 12 frames per second, or even 8 frames per second on twos, meaning a new drawing every 2 frames. Simple rig characters, reused backgrounds, maybe a team of 1 to 3 people. A 7-minute episode at that quality level takes 2 to 4 weeks for a solo creator working full-time, and the cost is somewhere between $2,000 and $10,000 total.
That 2 to 4 week timeline for a solo creator, that's the number I want to sit with, because it's what makes Daniel's question answerable. A motivated person with the right tools can produce a 7-minute kids animation in about a month. That's not theory. That's what small studios and independent creators are doing right now on YouTube Kids.
Where does AI fit into this? Because that's the real question. It's not replacing the pipeline, it's compressing parts of it.
That's exactly what we need to dig into next. Because you can't understand where AI helps until you understand what it's replacing in the traditional pipeline. The traditional pipeline for a 7-minute episode, let's walk through it stage by stage, because each one has a different relationship to AI. Pre-production comes first, script, storyboard, animatic. This is where you figure out what actually happens in your episode. You write the dialogue, you sketch out maybe 60 to 80 panels showing key moments, and then you build an animatic, which is basically those storyboard panels timed out to a scratch voice track, like a slideshow with sound. That's your blueprint.
That scratch voice track is where you first hear whether your pig has a personality, or just reads lines.
Pre-production for a 7-minute Piggy Tier episode, maybe 3 to 5 days if you're moving fast. Then you hit production. This is where the actual animation happens, and it breaks down into layout, keyframe animation, in-betweening, coloring, and compositing. Layout is camera placement and rough character positioning within each scene. Keyframe animation is drawing the important poses, the start of a movement, the end of a movement, the emotional beats. In-betweening fills the frames between those key poses. Coloring is self-explanatory. Compositing layers everything together, characters over backgrounds, foreground elements, any effects.
At the Piggy tier, you're not doing full 24 frames per second. You're running at 12 frames per second on twos, so 6 new drawings per second, sometimes even 8 frames per second on twos, which is 4 drawings per second. That's why it looks a little choppy. It's not a bug, it's a budget.
And that's the core trade-off in Tier 3 animation. Every drawing you skip is time you save. A 7-minute episode at 12 frames per second on 2s is about 2,500 individual drawings. At 8 frames per second on 2s, you're down to about 1,600. That's the difference between a 2-week timeline and a 3-week timeline for a solo animator.
Piggy visits the doctor. Let's reverse engineer what we saw. Simple vector rigs, meaning the characters aren't redrawn from scratch every frame. You build a digital puppet once, with movable joints, and then you pose it. Adobe Animate or Toon Boom Harmony. The backgrounds are probably reused across scenes. That waiting room set appears multiple times, maybe with minor variations. The lip sync is basic, maybe 3 or 4 mouth shapes mapped to the Hebrew dialogue.
That rigging approach is why a solo creator can actually finish an episode. If you had to hand draw every frame from scratch, you'd be looking at months, not weeks. The rig is the productivity multiplier. You invest a day or two building a character rig, defining the skeleton, the joint constraints, the facial expression library, and then you can animate that character for the entire series.
This is also why you see so many YouTube Kids shows where characters have, let's say, limited limb articulation. A pig that mostly stands in place and gestures with one arm is a rig that took 4 hours to build. A pig that does backflips is a completely different engineering problem.
Post-production comes last. Sound design, footsteps, door creaks, ambient waiting room murmur. Voiceover, either recorded by the creator themselves or hired out. Final render, which at this quality level is basically real time. You hit export and wait maybe 10 minutes for a 7-minute episode.
The full timeline for a solo creator at the Piggy tier? 3 to 5 days pre-production. 2 to 3 weeks production. 2 to 3 days post-production. That's your 2 to 4 weeks. And the cost, if you're doing everything yourself, is essentially zero beyond software subscriptions. Adobe Animate is about $25 a month. Toon Boom Harmony, maybe $40. If you hire a voice actor, add $100 to $300.
Now contrast that with the Koala Brothers tier. Stop motion with digital compositing, 11-minute episodes. You're now looking at 6 to 8 weeks with a crew of 8 to 12 people. The director oversees the creative vision. 2 to 3 animators handle the actual puppet manipulation. And in stop motion, you're shooting at 12 or 15 frames per second, physically moving an armature a fraction of a millimeter between each frame. 2 background artists build and maintain the miniature sets. A rigger maintains the puppets. Stop motion armatures break constantly. A compositor removes rigging equipment from shots and layers and digital elements. A sound designer handles Foley and mixing. At least one professional voice actor.
The budget reflects all those salaries. $300,000 to $500,000 per episode? That's not extravagant. That's just what it costs to pay 10 skilled people for 2 months of work.
What's interesting is that in the Tier 2 world, AI is mostly showing up in pre-production and post, not in the core animation. You'll see studios using Midjourney or Stable Diffusion for concept art, rapid visualization of character designs and set concepts before committing to physical builds. 11labs gets used for voice prototyping during the animatic phase, so you can hear the episode before you book your voice talent. But the actual animation is still human hands on puppets or human hands on Cintiq tablets.
That brings us to the tools that are actually changing things for indie creators right now. Runway's image-to-video is useful for background animations. You can generate a looping background, trees swaying or clouds moving, and composite your rigged characters over it. That used to require either drawing dozens of background frames or licensing stock footage.
11labs has become the standard for voice prototyping across indie animation. The Annecy International Animation Film Festival reported that over 40% of indie pilots submitted in 2025 used AI-generated voices at some stage of development. Not for final audio. SAG-AFTRA rules and basic quality standards still push you toward real voice actors for the finished product. But for prototyping, for hearing your character speak before you've committed to a script, it's transformative.
Then there's the character consistency problem, which is the thing that stops AI from being the whole pipeline. No current video generation model, not Sora, not Kling, not Runway Gen 3, can keep a character's face, clothing, and body proportions identical across a 7-minute runtime. Each clip is generated independently, and the model has no persistent memory of what your pig looks like. You get subtle drift, or unsubtle drift.
The workaround that smart indie creators are using, and this goes back to what Corridor Digital pioneered with their Rock Paper Scissors series, is to build a simple rigged 3D model in Blender as your consistency anchor. Animate the character's motion traditionally, then use AI for style transfer, applying a consistent visual look to every frame. The 3D base guarantees the character stays on. Model. The AI handles the aesthetic.
The AI isn't drawing your pig. It's painting your pig after you've already told it where to stand and how to move.
Which is a much less magical story than type a prompt, get an episode, but it's a much more honest one. And for someone like Daniel, who has characters already, Herman, Pobleberry, Corin, this workflow is accessible. Build simple rigs, animate them, use AI for the visual polish.
Of course there are. Let's talk about the tools that are actually changing things for indie creators right now. Because the landscape is moving fast. Runway Gen 3 Alpha dropped in July 2024, and its video-to-video style transfer is the thing that's useful for this workflow. You can take live-action reference footage, someone acting out a scene with a puppet, or even just gesturing, and Runway will rotoscope that into an animated character in a consistent style.
Corridor Digital's Rock Paper Scissors series from 2024 is the case study everyone points to. They built simple 3D models in Blender as the base, animated the motion traditionally, and then ran the frames through AI-style transfer to get that painterly anime look. The 3D rig guaranteed the character stayed on model, same face, same proportions, same clothing across every shot. The AI handled the aesthetic layer. It wasn't type a prompt, get an episode. It was a hybrid pipeline.
Which is exactly what someone making a Piggy Visits the Doctor tier show would do. Build a simple pig rig in Blender. Rigify, the free auto-rigging add-on, will get you a basic skeleton in about 20 minutes. Animate your waiting room scene with the rigged pig. Then pipe the frames through Runway or Pika for style transfer. Give it that flat vector look, or a watercolor children's book feel, whatever fits your show.
Pika 2.0 added something specific that matters for dialogue. Heavy kids content. Lip sync from audio. You feed it a character face and a voice clip, and it generates the mouth shapes automatically. That launched in November 2025, and it's not Pixar quality lip sync, you get occasional mushiness, but for the piggy tier, where you're doing three or four mouth shapes anyway, it's a genuine time saver.
The lip sync problem is one of those things where good enough actually is good enough for a certain tier of production. A toddler watching a pig talk to a doctor is not analyzing phoneme accuracy, they're watching the pig.
That's the tier where AI is most useful. Not replacing the creative decisions, but removing the tedious stuff that doesn't add creative value. Nobody became an animator because they love drawing in between frames of a character's arm moving from point A to point B. That's grunt work. AI can handle a lot of that in-betweening now, especially with comfy UI workflows using ControlNet and IP Adapter for consistent character generation across frames.
Explain the comfy UI piece, because that's where the actual indie workflow lives.
Comfy UI is a node-based interface for Stable Diffusion. You build a visual pipeline by connecting boxes. It looks like a modular synthesizer. With IP Adapter, you feed it reference images of your character from multiple angles, and it learns to generate new poses of that same character without drifting. ControlNet lets you guide the generation with a stick figure or depth map, so you can specify the character is standing here, arm raised, facing left, and the AI fills in the details while respecting the pose. Combine those, and you can generate a sequence of frames where your pig character stays consistent because you're constantly feeding it reference images and pose guides.
You're not asking the AI to remember your pig. You're showing it your pig every single time.
That's the workaround for the memory problem. Current video models have no persistent state. Every generation is amnesiac. But if you build a pipeline that re-injects reference images and pose data on every frame, you fake consistency. It's not elegant, but it works.
Which brings us to the practical timeline for a solo creator using these tools. A 7-minute piggy tier episode, traditional pipeline, we said 2 to 4 weeks. With AI-assisted workflows, 3D base plus style transfer for backgrounds and effects, AI lip sync, AI-assisted in-betweening, you're looking at 1 to 2 weeks. The AI saves 40 to 60% of production time on the visual side.
And this is the part that gets lost in the hype. The script, the storyboard, the voiceover, and the sound design still take the same amount of time. AI doesn't write a funny script. It doesn't know that Ezra is going to laugh when the pig falls off the chair, not when the pig explains medical billing. The human creative decisions are the bottleneck, and they should be.
There's a concept that's been floating around indie animation circles called generative previs. Instead of spending 3 days sketching a storyboard and another 2 days building an animatic, you use AI to rapidly prototype scenes. Type a rough scene description, generate 10 visual variations in different styles. See what clicks. Test whether your pig character looks better in flat vector or watercolor or cut paper style before you commit to building the rig.
This is where AI is most valuable for indie creators. Not in the final product, but in reducing the risk of investing weeks into a style that doesn't work. You can fail faster. You can try 5 visual approaches in an afternoon and pick the one that feels right. That used to take weeks of concept art iteration.
Generative previs is basically the AI version of what Pixar does with their internal screenings. They watch rough versions of their films, realize the entire third act doesn't work, and redo it. But Pixar can afford to throw away months of work. An indie creator can't. AI previs lets you throw away an afternoon instead.
Now, there's a regulatory layer here that matters specifically for kids' content, and we should touch on it. COPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. Applies to any content directed at children under 13. If you're making a kids show for YouTube Kids, you cannot collect data on your viewers. No behavioral targeting, no personalized ads, no tracking. That's not an AI issue specifically, but it shapes the entire ecosystem. YouTube Kids has separate content policies, and they've been cracking down on what they call low-effort AI slop, auto-generated content with no human creative input.
which is a legitimate problem. There are channels pumping out hundreds of AI-generated videos with nonsensical scripts and melting characters. But the enforcement also creates a weird incentive. If you're using AI as an assistive tool in a real creative pipeline, your content is fine. If you're fully automating everything, including the script, you get demonetized or removed. The line is human creative oversight.
Then there's the voice acting piece. SAG-AFTRA has been in ongoing negotiations around AI voice actors, and the rules are still evolving. 11 Labs is incredible for prototyping. You can generate multiple character voices from a single actor's scratch recordings. Hear your whole episode before you book talent. But for the final product, especially if you ever want to submit to festivals or pitch to distributors, you need real voice actors. The good news is that for a 7-minute Piggy tier episode, hiring a voice actor is surprisingly affordable, $100 to $300 on platforms like Voices.com or Fiverr.
If you're doing a Hebrew language show, there's actually a shortage of Hebrew voice actors on those platforms, which means less competition, but also fewer options. You might end up doing the voices yourself, or recruiting a friend. Which, honestly, for a first pilot, is completely fine. The Koala Brothers didn't start with professional voice talent either.
The through line here, and this connects back to what we said about the Piggy tier being the sweet spot, is that the tools are mature enough now that a motivated solo creator with a clear vision can actually make something. Not a Pixar film. Not even a Koala Brothers episode. But a 3 to 5 minute pilot with consistent characters, a real story, and visual charm. That's achievable in 4 to 6 weeks. The AI accelerates the visual production. The human provides the story, the timing, the jokes, the heart.
If you're that person, the one with characters in your head who wants to make a kids' show, what do you actually do on Monday morning? Here's the concrete plan. Step 1. Download Blender. It's free, it runs on anything, and the community is enormous. Follow a Rigify tutorial. Rigify is the auto-rigging add-on that ships with Blender, and build one simple character. Your pig, your donkey, your sloth. Get it moving.
The reason you start in 3D, even if you want a 2D final look, is that the rig solves the consistency problem before it starts. Once your character has a skeleton, it stays on model by definition. Then you pipe those frames through Runway or Pika for style transfer, and suddenly your Blender render looks like flat vector animation or watercolor or whatever aesthetic you chose. That's the hybrid pipeline Corridor Digital used, and is the most reliable indie workflow right now.
Step 2. Focus your time where the AI can't help. Write a real script. Draw a storyboard. Even stick figures on index cards. Record scratch voiceover. Use 11 Labs for prototyping if you want to hear how different voice styles feel against your character, but plan to hire a real voice actor for the final. $100 to $300 for a 7-minute episode on Voices.com or Fiverr. That's less than a decent dinner out.
Step 3. Target the Piggy, visits the Doctor tier for your pilot. 3 to 5 minutes, simple animation, a clear beginning, middle, and end. Do not try to make the Koala Brothers on your first attempt. A 4-minute pilot with consistent characters and an actual story is achievable in 4 to 6 weeks as a solo creator. Ship that, learn from it, then decide if you want to scale up.
The barrier to entry has never been lower. Blender is free. Rigify tutorials are on YouTube. Runway has a free tier. Comfy UI is open source. The only thing standing between you and a finished pilot is 4 to 6 weeks of focused work and a story worth telling.
The story part is the thing that will actually determine whether Ezra or any kid keeps watching. AI can paint your pig. It can't make your pig funny.
Which brings me to the question I keep coming back to. Will AI ever solve character consistency to the point where a solo creator can actually produce Pixar-level animation from their laptop? And I think the honest answer is, not in the next 3 to 5 years. Possibly not in the next 10. The gap between consistent enough for a toddler watching a pig and consistent enough for a 90-minute theatrical release is not a technical gap, it's a creative one. Pixar animation isn't just technically flawless. Every frame has a director's intent baked into it. The lighting communicates mood. The character's posture communicates subtext. AI can't do subtext.
What it can do, though, is make the Piggy Visits the Doctor tier accessible to basically anyone with a story and 4 weeks of focus. And as the video models improve, Sora's expected to get a public release later this year, Kling 2.0 is promising better temporal consistency. The bottleneck shifts further from production to storytelling. The creators who succeed won't be the ones with the best prompt engineering. They'll be the ones who know how to write a joke that lands, how to pace a scene, how to make a 4-year-old care about a sloth and a donkey.
Which brings us to the obvious closing thought. The person who sent in this prompt has the characters. Herman, Pubbleberry, Corin. They have names, they have voices, they have a dynamic. The hard part, the part AI can't do, is already done.
The tools are ready. Blender is free. The tutorials are on YouTube. The AI accelerators are maturing fast. The audience is waiting. And I don't just mean Ezra, though he's obviously the most important test viewer. There's a real hunger for kids' content that isn't algorithmically extruded, that has actual human warmth and weirdness and love behind it.
Start the pilot. Herman and Corin in a waiting room. I don't know what happens, but you do.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the early Renaissance, a Spanish explorer in Guyana documented a nudibranch whose chemical defenses were potent enough that a single sea slug, roughly the length of a human thumb, produced toxins comparable in effect to the venom of 20 mature rattlesnakes, a measurement the explorer recorded by observing its effect on a captive caiman.
Right. This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. We're at myweirdprompts.com. I'm Corn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Go make something.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.